Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have heard Dr. Andrew Taylor preach many times. That's the best I've ever heard him. I sat back there and I thought, if I had all the fundamentalists in the world in one meeting, and I could choose five sermons for them to hear, that would be one of them. And I've heard a lot of preaching. That's marvelous. And I'm glad I got to hear it. I'm sure members of this church will hear it again within 2 weeks. And they tell me that when Dr. Gray starts preaching, he does that. When he ends preaching, he does that. He's putting quotation marks around his sermon. But there used to be a slogan. Buick used to have a slogan. When better cars are built, Buick will build them. I have a slogan. When better sermons are written, I'll preach them. And I, what an encouragement. And I stop and realize this church and what it's doing, it's hard for me not to be a little reminiscent of the days when your pastor was in college. I tell this often, and I've told it here, but I like to tell it. I've only worn a bulletproof vest one time in my life. People think I have one on now, but that's really me in there. And it's hard to believe that there's not some padding in there somewhere, but I, on July 4th, 1976, the 100th birthday of our nation, the word was spread around the country and even was on the radio that Jack Hiles would be killed. The communists were running wild in those days, and they had targeted 10 of the communist 10 greatest enemies in America. And they said that two of us would be killed on the 4th of July. It was on a Sunday. And I, of course, naturally, I believe in God, and with my great faith in God, I was scared to death. And but my family was mortified, really. And they begged me to wear a bulletproof vest. I left home that morning. It was almost like a final goodbye. I walked out the door, and there at the door stood somebody who said, "I'll be with you through the day. Nobody's going to get my preacher." He's a student in our college named Bob Gray, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. So I love him, and I thank God for his love for me. I try to be good to older preachers when I was young. I tried to be good to Dr. John Rice as I traveled with him across the country. And the Lord has certainly given me men like Randy Taylor and Bob Gray to be good to me in my senior years. I feel spoiled and I enjoy it. And I appreciate it more than I could ever say. It's been a wonderful conference. Music has been so beautiful. Choir, the orchestra, all the special numbers. And, of course, Dr. Taylor, done a wonderful job. And Brother Bill Burr, nobody like Bill Burr. Nobody like him. I call him Otis. To me, he looks exactly like that drunk in the Andy Griffith program. And would you agree? Raise your hand. Would you agree? All right. And but if I listed the 10 most charming personalities in America, I'd list Bill Burr on that list. One of the most charming men and one of the finest men. And bless his wife. I mean, she is Miss Astor, married to Dis Astor. And he's Southern corn pone, and she's cultured and refined, and what a team. And I love them, and I as I look around. Brother May back there a while ago, all those people he brought. And I can't help but remember when he's in college, sat back on my left over there. I just wish everybody could live a lifetime and come to their senior years and go around the country just clipping coupons like I get to do. My secretary gives me a sharp set deck of cards. I don't know why I started to say that. I see you know the term, but she gives me a deck of cards as I leave every week to go to the airport. On those cards are all the sermons that I preach within 100 miles of where I'm preaching. The sermon I'm going to preach tonight, like the one I preached last night, has not been preached within 100 miles of here. But I'm sure that a few of you have heard it. But it's a sermon to individuals. I call sermon like Brother Randy preached a while ago. I call those State of the Nation sermons. When I preach one, and I have a lot of them. Tonight I'm going to preach to you, just to you personally. I've been looking around at the congregation as I've been up here. And I've stopped and focused on many of you individually. There's one thing I know about you. If you're 21 years of age or older, you have a broken heart tonight. I know that. Everybody does. Somebody said, be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Somebody said, he who preaches to broken hearts will never want for a congregation. And I don't want to single you out and just preach to you. I need a chair of some kind. Just a folding chair will be fine. And I'm going to use it in the sermon tonight. Open your Bibles, please. Proverbs, chapter number 16. Proverbs, chapter number 16. Just put it right there. It'll be fine. About in front of where you are. Face it that way, if you would. Attaboy, you did a good job. I knew if you stayed here long enough, you'd come in handy sooner or later. The only thing that worries me is I have really done myself an injustice. I have trained a bunch of young men in satire. And they have risen up to slay me. Wherever I go, I use, as you know, a lot of satire. And these guys were all good guys before they met me. Calm, nice, decent guys before they met me. And they copied me, and now they've gotten together, and they're crucifying me. And in Proverbs chapter number 16, in verse number 7, one verse. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. I didn't preach on that for a long time. Because I ain't never made my enemies to be at peace with me yet. I never preach anything that's going to get me. But I said one time, won't you practice what you preach? I said, I can't. Did you ever try it? Ain't no way you can practice what I preach. I can try to practice it. But I can understand that verse. When a man's ways please the Lord. Brother Gray, I know some of your enemies. They're sure not at peace with you. So your ways don't please the Lord, says right here. And because I thought that's what it meant, it bothered me, and I didn't preach on it. I wasn't sure what it meant. And one day it dawned on me what it meant. Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 6. You'll find who our enemies are. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. In the 12th verse of Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, that was encouraging to me. My real enemy is not flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Tonight, those of you who think I'm a shallow preacher will receive much ammunition to launch my way. For I will be shallow tonight. I'd like for you not to take notes. I'd like for you to look at me. I'd like for you to listen to me. I want to help you. That's all I want to do, is just to help you. Our Heavenly Father, help me to be a blessing. That's all I ask. I do not pray for eloquence of speech. I'm not sure I've ever had it. I don't pray for a good sermon. I'm not sure if I've ever preached one. I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing tonight. Behind every countenance, there's a reason why tears could flow. Behind every breast, there's a heart that hurts tonight. And I pray you'd help me to be a blessing to these dear friends. In Jesus' name. This is mine. I have flown over 8 million miles on airplanes. I was flying in Chicago before Hare Field was even built, back when Midway was the largest airport in the world. It's hard to believe. Over 8 million miles I have flown. I flew on what they said was the first jet plane that flew out of Chicago O'Hare Field. I want to build my sermon tonight around a flight that I had from San Francisco, California to Chicago. I've been preaching in Santa Clara, California. This has been, I think it was last April. Maybe it was April before last, maybe. But I was preaching for Dr. Jack Trebert at the North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. On Wednesday morning, I caught a plane for Chicago. They gave me an assigned seat, seat number 4A. Now, 4A is what they call the first class section of the airplane. The rich folks sit up in first class section. All poor white trash sit back in the back of the airplane in what they call the coach section. However, I fly so much that I'm a frequent flyer, and I'm what they call an executive premier. You didn't hear me, did you? I said I fly so much that I'm what they call an executive premier. I said I fly so much that I'm what they call an executive premier. I bet you never thought in your life that you'd be in the same room with an executive premier. What an honor. If you're an executive premier, which is what I am, I said if you're an executive premier, which is what I am, look, folks, I'm old. I need your help. They give you little coupons. And you can upgrade to first class. If there are empty seats in first class, you can upgrade. If you use all the coupons, for about $25, $30, you can do it anyway. Now, I don't upgrade every time, but if I'm back in the back where those three seats are and I'm sitting between two fat women, I upgrade. Or between Brother Burr and Brother Gray. I upgrade to first class because I'm an executive premier. So I upgraded that day, and I was given seat 4A. I walked to my seat. Between me and my seat was a middle-aged man, middle-aged being about 69. I hope And this fellow was about 60 years of age, and he had his tray down. Now, the only thing, his tray down where he was working, which means I couldn't get by, and that was my seat over there, seat 4A, and he was between me, I was in the aisle, and he was between me and the seat. I said, "Pardon me, please." I said, "That's my seat over there, seat 4A. He never looked up. I said, "Would you excuse me, please? I've got to get by to seat 4A. He never looked up. Didn't say anything. Didn't even acknowledge my presence. Hey! That's my seat. Here I am. Straight lines, the nearest point between two places. I got to get here to there." He never looked up. He never said one cotton-picking word to me. I'd rather be cussed out than overlooked. And I know I've been both many times. Hello. I'm a man. That's the seat. The man needs to get in his seat. You're in the way. He didn't pull his tray up. He didn't acknowledge me. He didn't look up. I'm warning you. I'm coming over. I'm going to give you three. Now count three. If you don't get out of my way, put that tray up, I'm calling over you. He never looked up. He just kept on working. Here I come. So I climbed over him. He sat down. "Good morning." Never a word. "Hello." "Boo." He didn't look up. He didn't say anything to me. I was getting, what if it were you, be mad. For me, I was righteously indignant. Which means I wanted to beat the dickens out of him. "I'm here. You're there. And we got to be here and there for 4 hours. Let's talk. You deaf?" I got mad. Right up here, there's a little button you can pull. That button is pulled, a little light comes on, and it says stewardess. And the stewardess or the steward comes and sees what you need. Ding. Stewardess comes and she says, "May I help you, Mr. Hiles?" See, when you're in first class section, you get they learn your name. Back there where the poor white trash sit, they don't care what your name is. If you would have to pay $1,000 extra to fly round trip from Chicago to San Francisco if you weren't what I am, an executive premier. Thank you. Now, what do you get for that $1,000? Two things. Stewardess memorizes your name, and you get two bags of peanuts. "May I help you, Mr. Hiles?" "Stewardess, could I change seats, please?" She said, "Why do you want to change seats, Mr. Hiles?" I said, "Crab. crab.
She said, I'll go see. She checked, she comes back, and she said, Mr. Hiles, I'm sorry, but all the first class seats are taken. And I said, ma'am, second class, third class, fourth class, restroom, on the wing. Crab. She said, I'll go back, look in the coach section, and see if there are any seats available. She comes back, and she has the audacity to preach me a sermon. I don't like folks preach to me. It hurts. Especially a woman. I've got a woman that's licensed to preach to me at home. She said, Mr. Hiles, there's not a seat on this airplane. And proceeded to preach a sermon to me that I preach to you tonight. She said, Mr. Hiles, seat 4A is your assigned seat. Now, I know you don't want to sit there. And I know why. Crab. Now, Mr. Hiles, you got 4 hours you've got to sit there. Now, you can do one of two things. You can sit there and have a miserable trip. Or you can sit there and make peace with the fact that that's your seat for 4 hours and accept it and enjoy the trip. We're going to serve you a meal. We're going to give you 2 bags of peanuts and Diet Coke and Diet Coke. Now, Mr. Hiles, make up your mind what you're going to do. That's where you're going to sit. For 4 hours. Now, you can make peace with it and with your circumstances, whatever they are, how unpalatable they are, you can make peace and enjoy the trip. Or you can sit there if you want to and have a miserable, wretched trip. And I decided to have a good time. You heard her. I believe her. And I'm a convert. And I'm going to enjoy the trip. And if you think you're going to keep me from it, you've got another thing coming. I like silent people. Hey, I'm talking to you. I had a wonderful trip. Beside the old crab. Now I'm talking tonight to everybody in this room who's an adult. And I want to preach the sermon that she preached to me to you. You're sitting in a seat that's uncomfortable. Some things in your life are not palatable. You've got heartaches, burdens, so do I. We laugh a lot, but brother, I'll tell you what. I can tell you reasons why that man right there could be crying tonight instead of making you laugh. And I can tell you reasons why that man right there could cry himself to sleep tonight. And I can tell you reasons why this preacher here could go home tonight and dwell on his problems and think about the seat he's got to sit in and cry himself to sleep tonight. I'm saying everybody in this room has a reason tonight. You could look up to God and say, I don't like this seat. Okay. Tell God about it. Nothing wrong with that. If there are things in your life that you don't like, things uncomfortable and palatable, look to God as I did the stewardess and say, can I change seats, please? If God comes back to you and says you cannot change seats, this is your assigned seat in life, there's nothing you can do about it, then you just look at that seat and say, I'm going to sit there and make peace with my circumstance in life. I'm going to get busy for God, win everybody I can to Christ, build every Sunday school class I can, build every bus route I can. I'm not going to let the circumstances of my life that are negative ruin my journey to heaven. And bless God, I decided from that moment forward that my little life, with all of its problems and all of its burdens, I was going to have a time of my life on the way to heaven. There's a song in the book I don't like. Everybody else likes it but me, and I'll sing it for you.
It will be worth it all.
Thank you.
When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. When we see Christ,
the whole thing implies that it's a miserable trip on the way to heaven. But heaven is a wonderful thing. Bless God, I'm enjoying the journey. I'm not going to wait to heaven. I'm not waiting to heaven until I have eternal life. I got it when I was a boy, 11 years of age. I'm not going to wait to heaven. They're not going to write my name in the book when I get there. It's already written in the book. I won't be justified someday. I'm justified today. Brother, I want to say tonight, you can lament the circumstances of your life and sit there and have your little cotton picking pity party and feel sorry for yourself and say, it just didn't turn out my way. Or you can say, bless God, this is my assigned seat. I've got to sit here and I am going to enjoy my trip to heaven. Now tonight, what I want to do is I want to do for you what that little stewardess did for me. I want you to realize tonight that, by the way, you're not the only person in this world that's having it tough. I mean, you're not the first person that's ever lived that's had a heartache. Now, your heartache is real, and mine is real. And all of us have heartaches on this platform tonight. Go right down the line, and the broken reasons have broken hearts. But praise God, heaven's my home, God's my Father, Bible's my book, Jesus is my Savior, the rapture's my hope, and God is my Father, and I'm not going to let my trip be destroyed or ruined. I'm going to sit down in the seat that God's assigned to me, and I'm going to enjoy my trip to heaven. Make peace. Make peace tonight with your circumstantial enemy. Look up to God and say, dear God, can I change seats, please? God looks down and says, no, that's where you'll sit. You just look up and say, dear God, this is not the seat I would have chosen. But amen. And by cracky too. I am going to sit down in that seat that is my seat, and I'm going to enjoy the trip to heaven, and I'm not going to let my circumstances wreck my trip to heaven, and the old crab beside me is not going to ruin my journey. I'm talking tonight to some single lady. You'd plan to get married. You, like all young ladies, most young ladies, want to marry someday. You had dreams of a husband and children and a little house, a yard and a fenced-in backyard and a dog in the yard. And you had dreams of the typical life of a young lady. You saw a wedding gown, heard the wedding march, and heard someone singing, I love you truly or because. And brother, we ought to get back to those old love songs instead of this modern half-hippie songs we're singing these days at our weddings. But you had dreams of all of that. Hadn't worked out that way for you. You're midlife now, mid-years. You'll not be able to have a baby if you did marry. And your dreams have been shattered. And there you sit tonight in a seat you would not have chosen. But God has not chosen for you to be married. God's will for you was for you to be single. And by the way, it's no disgrace. Now you've got one choice of two. You can get over here and have your little pity party and say everybody else has a husband, everybody else has children, and I've got to get my own car out of the snow, rain, mud, and I got to fill out my own income tax report, and I don't have anybody to sit with in church, and I got to get my window unstuck, and I don't have a husband, don't have children, everybody else does, and God's not fair, and have your little stupid pity party, or you can get over there and say, that's my assigned seat, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to be the happiest single lady in this world, it's where God wants me to sit. Brother, if it's where God wants you to sit there and live it up.
Talking to some couple tonight, unable to have children. You dreamed of having children. You dreamed of mama coming from the lips of a little one. You dreamed of somebody saying, I woo-hoo, daddy. But it hasn't worked out that way for you. God hasn't given you a child. And you can look at the other children and say, it's not fair. You can look at other couples who have their children and say, it's not fair. And you can say, dear God, you've not been fair to me. Or you can realize that that's the assigned seat that God has given you.
and you sit down there and you have a time and you simply say, we're going to have the happiest marriage in the world and the happiest trip to heaven in the world, and we'll have more time to go soul winning. We'll have more time to build bus routes. We'll have more time to serve God. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, nobody has it all right, and nobody would prefer the exact seat where they're sitting. But if God puts you there, you sit there and enjoy the seat and live it up on the journey to heaven. Our church is a big church. We have more of everything than other churches do. Every week we have 4,000 people go soul winning from First Baptist Church of Hammond. We also have more folks in the penitentiary than in a church in America. That's a big church. I have a little bottle of olive oil I keep in my office. I anoint the sick and pray for the sick. I have no healing lines, no healing services, and I am more Catholic than I'm charismatic. I can prove it. I got the Pope lined up for July and Oral Roberts for August. I keep a little bottle of olive oil in my office, and I'd say half a dozen people come by every week after the services and ask me to anoint them with oil. I got the idea from Oral Roberts. I was down there in a preaching campaign. Jimmy Swaggart and Baker and I were down there together in this campaign. Tammy, that is. One day, a couple came by, 40 years of age. They said, Pastor, our doctor, Dr. Streeter, who, by the way, also attends our church, Dr. Cal Streeter. They said, Dr. Cal Streeter sent us by. We can't have any children. He suggested that you anoint us with oil and ask God to give us a baby. I said, I just pray for the sick. Well, she said, what is being sick? I said, when something won't work on your body. Well, she said, if we can't have a baby, is something not working right in my body? I said, yeah. She said, then get the oil out. Well, I've been trained to obey women, so I got the oil out. I put a little oil on her brow and a little oil on his. I said, dear God, in Jesus' name, give life to the seed of our brother and open the womb of our sister and give a baby within 3 months. They came by the office, and both of them grinning like possums. I think I've never seen a possum grin. But grinning like I think a possum would grin if a possum did grin. And she said, Pastor, we're going to have a baby. Word spread like a prairie fire all over our church. That 40-year-old couple couldn't have a baby. Brother Howell's anointed both of them with oil, and now she's pregnant. And 11 couples came together the next Sunday morning. All of them were patients of Dr. Cal Streeter. And said, Dr. Streeter sent us. Since this one couple got pregnant because you anointed with oil and prayed, we thought we'd come, and Dr. Streeter wants you to anoint all of us. I anointed 11 couples. We got 12 babies out of those 11 couples. 10 had one, and one had twins. I knew I used too much oil. I knew it. Dr. Cal Streeter came by a few weeks later and said, Pastor, as you know, my wife and I don't have any children either. Would you anoint us with oil? I did. They now have 8 children. He wrote me a note the other day, said, you got any reverse oil you can anoint us with. But I'm talking to folks tonight. You can't find one to adopt. And you can't have one. The pastor's anointed you with oil and prayed for you. And it's your lot in life. And you sit there tonight and you say, God hasn't been good to me. Look up to God and say, can I change seats, please? If God says, no, that's your assigned seat, cancel your stupid pity party. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. And sit down in the seat God's assigned to you and make it the best place in the world and realize that God in heaven put you there. It is your assigned seat. Now sit down there and live it up.
I'm talking to some lady tonight. Some lady here whose husband left you for a whore. Now for somebody else who left you to rear the children. My heart goes out to you. I feel sorry for you, but let us do all the pitying. Don't have any self-pity. You say it's not fair. He's gone. He's divorced me. He's married some whore. And anybody that steals somebody's husband like that is a whore. He's gone. There's nothing I can do about it. All right, then quit feeling sorry for yourself. Stop and realize your name is still in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're still a child of God. You still get raptured if the trumpet sounded. You're still redeemed. Your name is written in the blood of Christ in the books of heaven. I'm saying cancel your pity party. Sit down in your assigned seat. It's not what you would have chosen, but it is what God has chosen for you. Sit there. You've got plenty of things you can praise Him for. I'm talking to somebody tonight who's got some things in your past that you'd like to call back. You got some bridges you'd like to burn. Some nights you'd like to forget. Some things you've done you wish you could relive, but you can't do it. Now you can sit down and say, my life is wrecked and ruined. There's nothing I can do. I'm going to have a miserable trip to heaven. Or you can say, praise God, God has forgiven me. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free. In my heart's a song. Bad in the deepness sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Roll away, roll away, roll away. Have a burden in my heart, roll away. Have a sin had to go beneath the crimson flow. Roll away, roll away, roll away. Have a burden in my heart, roll away. I'm saying get back in your seat and sit down there. It's your seat. You can't relive that night. You can't forget it. Praise God, He's forgotten it. Boy, I got a God that's got Alzheimer's disease. I'm talking to someone tonight whose mom and dad called you in one day and announced they're getting a divorce, just like my mom and dad called me in and told me my dad was leaving us. There you sit tonight, a teenager. It's been pretty tough. I know how it is. I know what it's like to see my daddy walk out, never to walk in again. I know what it's like to meet him on a street corner for 10 minutes a week. Wish he could come home and be at home with us. I'm talking to some young folks tonight. You'd like to change seats. You'd like to have your daddy singing in the choir. You'd like to have your daddy ushering in the church. You'd like to have your daddy on the platform like other people do. But it's not going to happen that way, and you can't do anything about it. It's over. He's gone. He's married somebody else. He's never going to come back. Now, cancel your... I'm tired. You mentioned it last night. I'm tired of these dumb psychologists saying that your miserable life is caused by your great-grandfather because he didn't drink enough cod liver oil when he was a baby. Tired of it. My Bible said every man shall give account of himself to God. So young person, bus kid, or not, you got a heartbreak tonight. You look up to God and say, dear God, can I change seats, please? If God looks down and says, that's your seat, I've assigned to you. You look up and say, dear God, I'll be the happiest kid of divorced parents in this world. I'll make something out of my life. I'll serve my God. And my children won't have what I had to go through with. I'm going to serve God. I'm trying to say tonight, in God's name, nobody sits where they wish they could sit. Everybody like to change seats. But if it's God's assigned seat, that's where He wants you. Sit there and live it up.
Maybe a baby was taken. Or maybe you pastored a small opportunity. Or maybe you're a bus kid. May I say this tonight without any request for pity at all? Many reasons tonight why I'd like to change my seat. Many reasons. I had dreams of when I got to be an older man of being a patriarch. I had dreams of my older life. It has not come out turned out that way. The other reasons why I'd like to change seats. But praise God, I made peace with it. I can't change it. And you look into night, look at me carefully. All around. You want to see that? Have you ever seen the backside of an executive premier? You just saw the happiest man you ever set your cotton-picking eyes on. You ask my wife the last time she saw me down.
You ask my people the last time they saw me walk through the door and walk up to the pulpit and discourage the depressed. I don't know what it's like to be depressed. I don't know. You know why? Because I picked up a seat I wouldn't have chosen. I picked up a seat I didn't want to sit in. And I said, that's my seat. I'm going to sit down in it. And I'm going to have a time of my life all the way to heaven. I sat down one day, not long ago, 4 years ago. Looked over and there's an old crab sitting beside me. Just like his one sitting beside you tonight. On your right side. You're in the coat section? I knew you were poor white trash. I didn't know. I looked over and I said, "It's old crab sitting beside me. What's your name?" The old crab said, "Old age. I don't want to sit beside you. I don't want to be old." "Sturdies, can I change seats, please?" God came and said, "Son, you're a senior citizen. And you're going to sit there the rest of your life. I don't like this seat. I don't want to be old. And if I am, I don't want to be married to an old woman." They say, you know, you're getting old when you help an old lady across the street and you find out it's your wife. And I said, "I don't want to sit here beside old age." God said, "You're going to have to sit there." I said, "Okay. I'll be the happiest old man in the world. And I'm old. Everything on me is wearing out. My hearing is about gone. My wife says I have selective hearing. I can hear what I want to hear. My hearing is gone. I got to wear glasses and bifocals. My hair is gone. I've only got two hairs. They're both 14 feet long. I weave them over the top of my head, get them right in the right spot, and paralyze them with hairspray. Brother, you watch me comb my hair, you'd think I'm the best sculptor since Michelangelo. Leonardo da Vinci, wherever he is tonight, is jealous and covetous of the way I do my hair. I got a hernia. Had it for 3 years. My wife says, "When are you going to have that checked on?" I said, "They call it an autopsy." I've got a truss on right now. My favorite song is "Truss and Obey." I'm old. I know I'm old. I'm 69. I'll be 70. I don't want to be. I want to change seats. But bless God, I told my people, you've got an old man for a preacher, but you've got the rowdiest old man, the highest kicking old man, and the screamingest old man, and the happiest old man in the world. I'm not going to let being old ruin my trip to heaven. I'm going to do it. That's my assigned seat. I'm going to sit there. I'm not going to sit there like you do. "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Eat your heart out, boy. "Life's trials will seem so small when we see..." Shut up. Man, you're on your way to heaven. Come we that love the Lord and let our hearts abound. We're marching to Zion, beautiful city of Zion, the beautiful city of God. Enjoy the journey. You know why that big old 7,000-seat auditorium, First Baptist Church of Hammond, is packed and jammed every Sunday morning and packed and jammed every Sunday night? We bring in extra chairs every Sunday night. You know why tomorrow night we'll have 5,000 people there for Bible study? You know why? Because I'm cute. No, sir, because there's an old man preaches up there 3 times a week that's enjoying his journey to heaven. And folks want to come and watch him have a good time on the trip. Get out of your assigned seat, sit there, quit your griping, call off your stupid pity party, and realize God put you there.
I'm sitting there. Stewardess came on the loudspeaker and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're making our final approach to Chicago O'Hare Field. Did you see how when I kicked that thing off, it landed straight up? I kicked that thing off. It landed on its bottom and it is right." Boy, I bet someday you hope you can have the power of God like that while you preach. You folks haven't laughed yet. Go home, tired looking at you. Stewardess said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to our final approach to Chicago, O'Hare Field. Be sure that your seatbelt is securely fastened and that your tray and carry-on luggage are safely stowed and your seat is in the original upright position, and prepare for the landing in Chicago O'Hare Field." We came in, taxi, walked up to the gate, door open. "We're here. This is the final destination. This plane ain't going nowhere else." He hadn't said one word to me. Didn't even look at me for 4 hours. "Hey, I need to reverse what I did 4 hours ago. I need to leave where I am, where I was. You in a way." "I'm giving you 3. I'm coming over. 1, 2, 3. "I'm leaving. I want you to know you thought you were going to run my trip. Sir, I have flown nearly 8 million miles on these planes. I've sat beside thousands of passengers. I have never enjoyed sitting beside anybody like I enjoyed sitting beside you. You know what I did while I was there? I got a sermon. I'll show it to you. It's called Sitting Beside a Crab. It's that same outline I've got right there right now. Because of you, I don't have to study for Sunday morning. Sure have enjoyed the trip." Now, well, folks, listen to me. There's not a single person in this room tonight but what has reasons you could cry yourself to sleep. I don't know what your heartache is, son, but you have one. I don't know what your heartache is, sir, but you have one. I don't know what your heartache is, ma'am. Probably that crab sitting beside you there. I'll tell you one thing. Every single one of us who's an adult has a reason tonight that we could stop and think and our hearts could break. I could tell you 3 reasons tonight why I could cry all night long if I chose to. But I'm not going to do it. My wife and I are enjoying life. She said the other day, I said, "You know, do you think I made anybody mad today?" She said, "Have you ever made anybody mad?" I said, "Don't think so." She said, "You don't have any enemies, do you?" I said, "Not that I know of." You know what I do? Blessed God, where can I go? I just get up here above everybody else. I don't stay out of all. I don't stay down there. People say to me, "How goes the battle?"
Matthias, how goes the battle? I don't know how the stupid battle's going. You're the ones talking about my battles. I don't know. I'm way up here above everybody else. I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on the manna for bountiful supply. I'm dwelling in Beautyland. Tonight you just step tiptoe down to that little seat that God's given you and sit there and say, "Dear God, can I change seats, please?" If God comes back and says, "This is your assigned seat," you say, "I'm making peace with it. I'm calling off my pity party and I'm feeling sorry for myself. I'm going to start serving God. I'm going to take the time I've been whining and witness that during that time." And you just make peace. "Can I change seats, please?" Nothing wrong with that. But once the stewardess came back and said, "Sir, there are no other seats on this airplane. That's your assigned seat. Now you got one choice of two. You can have a miserable trip all the way to Chicago for 4 hours. You can make peace with the circumstances. And you can enjoy the trip to Chicago. And so can you." Our Heavenly Father.